It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Throughout 2013, the Fort Pitt Society conducted a 10-month preservation and restoration project at the Blockhouse. This undertaking came just in time as 2014 marks the 250th anniversary of the structure, a little red brick building constructed in 1764. It's the oldest authenticated building in Pittsburgh. Joining us to discuss the past, present, and future of the Blockhouse is curator Emily Weaver. Emily, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So what makes this building, this old, small building, so special?
The Fort Pitt Blockhouse is the oldest building in the city of Pittsburgh, so that obviously makes it very special to us. It's been standing in its same location for 250 years, never moved, and it's the only original structure that we have left of Fort Pitt, one of the largest British forts in North America during the 18th century. So because it's the only thing we have left of the fort, and because it's the oldest building in the city, it's become a very important symbol to us in Pittsburgh history, a symbol of our earliest beginnings here in the Pittsburgh region. And that's why it's important to preserve it, too.
And when it was built, what was the purpose for it?
A blockhouse is a type of defensive structure, and they were used commonly in the 18th century as part of the defense of a fort. So there were originally five blockhouses around the outside walls of Fort Pitt. Of course, the blockhouse is the only one left of those five standing today. But soldiers would stand inside the building, and if you ever go down there, you'll see little openings in the walls. Those are called gun loops, like a loophole. And that is where the soldiers could fire their guns at anyone trying to attack Fort Pitt. So they're looking out, looking for anyone trying to attack. And of course, if there is an attack, they can fire their muskets, their guns, through those openings.
That's right. You have to remember that it was actually muskets and they
yes.
had the powder pan and that whole thing. And just to refresh people on the history of this, the enemy was who? Who was coming after them?
Well, at this point in the history of Fort Pitt, the main enemy that they faced were Native American Indians, although Fort Pitt had originally been constructed during the French and Indian War. And so you had French and Native Americans posing threats to the fort and to the area. But by 1764, the French and Indian War was over and the French were no longer in the area. But Native American Indians actually increased as a threat for the British, not just in Pittsburgh, but throughout the western frontier. And so they had to find a way to better defend the fort. And the blockhouses were an answer to that, like building these smaller structures around the outer walls to reinforce and strengthen its defense.
What are the dimensions of it? How big is it?
It's about, I would say, 15 feet high, 16 feet high. It's not a very big building. It has five sides to it. When people first walk in, they're thinking it's a four-sided structure. And then when they walk around the outside of the building, they come to realize it actually has five sides, like a pentagon shape. And the pointed part of it faces directly down towards the point. So this particular blockhouse would have been the one reinforcing the defense of the side of the fort facing towards the point, towards the Ohio River. So it has two floors, and both floors have the set of gun loops going the entire way around the building.
So you could have soldiers shooting from a lower level and then upstairs.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Down on the first floor, the building was set high off the ground. And the gun loops were built above the heads of the soldiers so that they could be better protected by the stone wall foundation during an attack.
Good thinking.
Yeah, yeah. And when it was time for them to fire, they had a little step that went around the room that they could step up onto and look out through the gun loopholes, and then they could step back down and reload or just stand within the safety of that wall if needed. So if you ever, you know, go into the building, a lot of, you know, visitors remark upon how the soldiers must have been really tall back then because these openings are so high off the ground, and they weren't super tall. They were about 5'5" on average, but they would have had a step going around so that they could stand up and look out through those properly.
And then sometimes the gun kicks, and if it knocks you back, you just kind of come down off that step, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully you don't fall off the step.
No, you wouldn't want that. And the exact location of the building, it just – set the scene for us as far as where one would find the blockhouse.
Oh, it's located right in the middle of Point State Park. So if you go down to the point, you visit the fountain's out ahead of the blockhouse, but the blockhouse sits right next to the Fort Pitt Museum down in Point State Park. And as I said, it's in its original location. So when you look at a map of where Fort Pitt would have been, you know, the blockhouse is sitting in the same spot that it would have been standing when the British were here, and even today, now that it's Point State Park.
And people can go in there and check it out.
Yes. The building is free admission. It's actually been free and open to the public since 1894. So that's one of the oldest continuously operating public museums in the city. So one of its many titles, you know. So.
And describe, you know, you mentioned it's part of this, part of Fort Pitt, part of this huge fort, used as a way to defend that area. Back in 1764, what else was there? I mean, now you've got all of downtown right there. But was aside from the fort, was there anything else there? Were there already buildings and businesses established down there?
Yes, there were. You had private civilian housing. A lot of the original housing of what made up the town of Pittsburgh was located up where downtown is today. So, you know, the downtown area is the site of some of the earliest settlement in what we would now call the city of Pittsburgh. And you actually had people building their homes very close to the fort's walls, which is always surprising for visitors to hear. Like, why would you build so close to a fort?
Well, and why would you? What's the answer to that question?
Well, I suppose the best thing would be to say is, why wouldn't you? Because you have the fort's right there. If the Indians did try to attack, you could run right into the fort with your family.
Well, wouldn't you want to be farther up, you know, uptown? I mean, we can't ask anybody now, but
you might want to be, if you wanted to be further away, just so that you're not by that, not by the fort, not by
where the fighting's happening.
Yeah, or not where the soldiers are hanging out, where you have that fort lifestyle going on. Just wanting your own piece of property. But of course, the further away you move from the fort, you know, you're more on your own. And you did have families who settled very far away from Pittsburgh. You know, they were out on the frontier on their own. But those are the families that would most likely get massacred whenever you had Indian tribes coming up and down the area and attacking the different settlements. So,
but I guess if you were farther behind the fort, if you were uptown, moving toward the wider side of the triangle, wouldn't you be safe there?
You would also be safe there. And like I said, you did have people building their homes in that location. Another issue would be flooding. Just like today, we get flooding. They definitely got a lot of flooding back then. Of course, they didn't have any flood controls like we have now. So the lower town, which was the name given to the cluster of houses that were down in front of the fort, like along the Allegheny River shoreline, the low town could be flooded numerous times. When there was an attack on Fort Pitt in 1763, all of the civilians were ordered from their homes, and their homes were burned to the ground. And you know, the civilians had to go into the fort. So there's always a risk of building your home that close to the fort, and especially that close to the river.
Yeah, Lowtown, not a good place to be back in 1764. We're talking about the 250th anniversary of the Blockhouse, the oldest authenticated building in Pittsburgh. Our guest is Emily Weaver, who is the Blockhouse curator. And I think you've hit on so much of the history of this that most folks would understand why it's important to preserve it. But do you still get questions from people who say, you know, that old thing, why do we have to save this? Why do we have to preserve this? Why do you think it's important?
Well, I think it's important, as I said earlier, because of what it symbolizes. If you're not impressed that it's 250 years old, I do get some visitors who are like, oh, have you ever been to Germany? They have, you know, buildings way older than this. Well, that's true. And you could even go east of here and find buildings that are 100, 200 years older. You know, it's the only thing left of Fort Pitt. It's this tiny little building. Why is it so special? And like I said, it's just – it's a great symbol of our early beginnings here in the western Pennsylvania area and particularly, you know, the Pittsburgh area because this is where it all begins. It's the only original structure we have left of pretty much any fort in western Pennsylvania from the French and Indian War period. So it represents that whole era in our history where you have the British and the French out here fighting each other, Native American Indians fighting off the Europeans, and it serves as a reminder of that.
And so in spite of all this, the building could have been lost, and in fact, there was a realistic possibility that it would have been lost had it not been for the family of the Kennedys. So who is Paul Kennedy, and what role did his grandfather play in saving the blockhouse?
Well, to backtrack slightly, in 1894, the blockhouse was given to the Pittsburgh chapter of the Daughters of the American Revolution. So they were the ones who restored the building and saved it from initial destruction. And then Paul Kennedy's grandfather, Senator Michael Kennedy, Representative Michael Kennedy came along to help us get a law passed in 1907 to save the building from destruction by the Pennsylvania Railroad. So the Kennedy, Michael Kennedy, worked very well with the Daughters of the American Revolution in saving the blockhouse from destruction.
The railroad wanted that area.
Yes, very much so. And it ended up getting that area, just not the blockhouse. The railroad ends up taking over the point, becomes very industrialized. The blockhouse survives because of the work of Mr. Kennedy and the ladies of the revolution, the Daughters of the American Revolution.
And before we wrap up in just the last few seconds here, there will be a number of events to mark the 250th anniversary. Just a couple of the highlights for us.
Well, on April 24th, we'll be having the dedication of the Edith Ammon Memorial Garden, which is a memorial to the early women of the Daughters of the American Revolution. In August, we'll be having our outdoor event to celebrate Blockhouse 250, and in September, we'll have the gala event at the Wyndham Grand.
Very good. Emily Weaver is curator of the Blockhouse. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been fascinating.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for joining us for this edition of Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. You can catch the entire show online at WESA.FM. Tomorrow, a conversation about the musical Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson. Until then, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.